Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Natalie Willis, standing in for your regular host, Amanda Coulson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. So tonight we're talking with some artists who've done some incredible relief work for Grand Bahama and Abaco, which is something really near and dear to my heart as a Grand Bahamian. We spoke with Chantal Bethel and Jody Minnis, and now in the hot seat, we got Angelica Wallace Whitfield.
Hello, hello.
Yay.
So, Angelica, I know you also spent some time growing up in Grand Bahama, so Yes. This storm also kind of has a bit of a, you know, another form of personal, kind of a bit of a personal note for you as well. Like we've been saying throughout this whole segment, I think it's something that we feel like all of us as a nation, but tell me a little bit about what your response was to the storm. Because I mean, like, I know it was kind of, all of it feels and still feels, I think, quite surreal. Like rubble's being cleared away, but that doesn't mean that it is starting to look any less like, you know, like a bomb hit, really.
Yeah, there's a very slight level of normalcy in Bahama right now.
But yeah. You know. And it's like not really.
Yeah, and I'm headed there this afternoon for another mural, and it's just like you have to sort of mentally prepare for that landing every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like you fly in over like Queens Cove, and you could just see there's like, oh, okay, there's no roofs there on a few of those. Like,
and
you know, people
land at the airport, and it's just blue.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's just blue tarp. Yep. Like, there's like the thing that's strangest to me, I think, is like that there's buildings, like especially for Westerner, because they're like the only ones I think really who are able to come in and out easily. Like you can see like the shell of the buildings, but like the bottom half of it is just like gone.
Yeah, they're all made out of that thin like corrugated metal.
Yeah.
So wherever the water touched, it just like washed through.
Yep.
And if the water didn't touch it, it's still intact. So it's almost like they look like bungalows on stilts.
Yes, exactly. Shells, which is just bizarre.
It's just bottom floor of everything just gone.
And it's just kind of
the same as the gallery at the Nature Center. Same way.
Oh, God.
Inside.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Oh, Lord. I didn't even make it there yet. Yeah. Like,
and
when
it's like you drive past homes and you see like everything that was in the house outside the house. Like, it almost seems like, well, obviously fake. Like, I can't even find the word for it. But it's like the washing machine, someone's shirt, a piece of the oven, a piece of the bed, the curtain, more clothes, a shoe, you know, the car somewhere else in the yard. It's I don't know.
Enraged water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you just see like the aftermath of angry water.
Yeah. And like, I think the other weird thing is like what I noticed, because like I went out riding with my mom out east because she hadn't been to see anything, because she was like, I don't want to.
Heartbreaking.
It is. And she was like, I don't want to sightsee in people's trauma. So like this was like, I finally went home. It was like maybe I think a month after or 6 weeks after the storm. And that was the first time she had like been out, because we knew that most of the people who would have been there would have gone. And like the thing that was like just astounding was like, if you're like going up like by Barbary Beach, like just the amount of like just logs, like massive, like the trunks of like the pine trees that would have already like been killed off in another storm where the saltwater surge came up and killed them. So it's like they were just these like projectiles just like ready to go and like rumble through everything. Like they were just completely like clean, no branches, nothing. It was just insane. So I guess that's kind of why
and
your
the ones
project
that were standing were like sticks,
exactly, like matchsticks.
Yes, actually, they make great art.
Yeah, they do. They do. Well, that's the thing, is like, you know, the sort of underlying theme is that there's all this
destruction,
and it's just like you can't fully wrap your head around it. Like, what was it, like 2 billion cubic tons or something of like rubble from the Northern Islands, which is like, or million? I don't know. I think it was billion though. Billion makes more sense. And that's kind of why it's, I mean, important doesn't sound like a strong enough word, but that's kind of why it's so important that we have, like, you know, the art community, which always talks about, like, how much it cares about, like, humanity and, like, trying to have social, like, you know, edges onto things. That's why it's so important that we're all trying to find ways to, you know, not just bring relief, but to try and bring some hope back, too, and not in a frivolous way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I think your project is so incredible. So do you want to tell us a bit more about Hope is a Weapon?
Sure. So I started Hope is a Weapon Well, it's almost a year old now.
Oh my God.
Baby.
Oh. We need a cake.
Yeah, right. It started in NE9, so that would have been last year, December.
Yes, the 9th National Exhibition. Every 2 years.
National Exhibition, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it started there, and the reason I started the Hope is a Weapon project, it's a very simple project. It started as a street tag. It's literally mm-hmm. just me spray painting words mm-hmm. on a wall, Hope is a Weapon. And it started because after my studies in the philosophy of art and moving back home, I had almost been home. Well, now it's been 2 years, but at that point it was almost 2 years. And just the idea of trying to give art this moral backbone that I was sort of looking for. I had left high school pursuing medicine with this idea that I would like save the community and mm-hmm. save the world. And it was a huge decision for me to back mm-hmm. down from medicine for mm-hmm. so many reasons. Sorry, Mom. and to choose art instead.
That's a real common one, though. Like, it's yeah. funny.
And so many people were like, medicine to art? Did you flunk medicine? No, I got straight A's.
Exactly.
I just chose mm-hmm. to pursue the life that I wanted.
Because mm-hmm. The narrative is always like, oh, if you ain't smart, you could just go in the art class.
Right.
And it's like, that's really not how art works, right. y'all. Like, it's literally like you mix yes. in all kinds of stuff. It's like science, sociology, like psychology, philosophy. Yeah. Like, anything. What does it mean to be? Like, who can answer that question?
Right. Yeah,
doctors exactly. are just like, you alive, you good. Okay. Like, yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, not just that. They save lives. Y'all are important. Just saying, like, massively important. But you know what I mean? It's like, you know, yeah. these are all like, sort of, they're all related to the same sort of things. They never used to be separated, right? So,
no.
like, art and science never used to be separate
no,
as well.
Exactly.
So, like, we smart people. Y'all need to give us credit. That's
exactly.
all I can say.
Right. Exactly.
So, with that, I started the street tagging because mm-hmm. I wanted art to get out there. To mm-hmm. me, it was like, especially, we have a very young art community and a young art history.
Mm-hmm.
Not a young visual culture history, but
exactly.
a young art history.
Yes.
And to me, it was showing its youth in the sense that the gallery still seems like a very exclusive place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to a lot
know?
Of people.
And mm-hmm. you'll see that in my practice. I can't tell you the last time I've touched a canvas. You know, mm-hmm. 2019 was really my year for painting on the streets, you mm-hmm. know, and it's been all public projects mm-hmm. since then. But
very Charles White of you.
yeah. but it's very, Hope is a Weapon started as a public outreach. I wanted... Yes, it's art, but it's also just words. And the fact that I made the art legible, it was more accessible for more people. I was putting mm-hmm. it in every neighborhood I could find mm-hmm. in Nassau. Like, I rode around for weeks with it in my car, just like,
just cause.
I'll stop and spray. I'll yeah. stop and spray, you know, like, mm-hmm. no matter where I was. And then, obviously, I started merchandising the work because people wanted to be able to carry the phrase with them. And mm-hmm. I thought that was really special. I was like, mm-hmm. wow, I'm reaching people this much that mm-hmm. they want to carry it with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People asking me, hi, can you come and spray it in my living room? Or, you know, like,
wow,
that's
okay,
amazing.
Sure,
where is
you
it?
Know?
That's great.
So that was all fun and exciting. And then it sort of died down, and I just mm-hmm. expected it to naturally die down. You know, mm-hmm. I had made, like, a trillion shirts in my house. I was like, oh wow, Hope is a Weapon, I dream about this, like, you
hey,
know, like,
you in
like,
Sydney, it was like a factory in
right,
like in
like,
there
day and night our house turned into like a t-shirt factory. And obviously after the hurricane hit, it sort of triggered that helpless artist feeling because I was like, mm-hmm. wow, if I was a doctor, I could have been there helping,
know.
You know,
I know.
Like,
I know.
Right away, like that was my thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. and Western and Bahamas Air didn't have planes on the
yeah.
ground in Grand Bahama till almost a week after, or a
yeah.
little over a week after the storm. Mm-hmm. But I was there as soon as they would mm-hmm. let me. But in that week span, like, that week felt like a month. You
yeah,
know? Like
exactly.
That first and second week mm-hmm. of September were, like, the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling helpless. I was mm-hmm. like, wow, I need to go back to medical school now. You know, like, my plane's ready to turn around. But I was like, what can I do? Like, how can I use my gift or you know, my power as an artist
yeah.
to like make a difference,
agency.
Mm-hmm. And also my anxiety was just raging, so I was like, I'm gonna just do what I do and make a bunch of shirts, you know,
yep.
like calm
yep.
myself. And I spent mm-hmm. days making mm-hmm. shirts, and I had a pop-up at NAGB and it sold out in 2 hours.
There was one that sold out in like 15 minutes.
Well, that's
yeah.
the thing,
just
so
like nuts.
When I sold out in 2 hours, I was like, wow, I have all day, I plan to be here all day, so what I'm gonna do is go buy more shirts and
mm-hmm.
go home and make more shirts
mm-hmm.
for you
mm-hmm.
you know. And I made them, I heat pressed them, and I showed up at NAGB the next
mm-hmm.
day. When I got there, someone was waiting to buy everything that I
wow.
had to give it to victims that were coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And that started getting me thinking, about like supplies, like we're packing up all these supplies to send to these islands that people are evacuating from, you know, because in my head I thought she was sending the shirts to Abaco, and she's like, no, hundreds of people are coming, you know. And then the that got me thinking, because originally I was thinking I'd send the money to these organizations that are helping on these islands, but it got me thinking about what was happening here in Nassau,
because they're also here.
And then I did a few evacuation missions with Head Knowles from Abaco, Marsh Harbor, to Nassau. And I just saw the masses of people that were coming. And that's when I made the decision to take all proceeds from the pop-ups rather than sending it to the islands, to send them to the homes that were here, so Ranfurly, and then the different sites. And I work closely with Alicia Wallace, my cousin. Who's been at NAGB packing since.
She's really been hard, like spearheading that.
She's been incredible, like, as a force to have around, because, like, what we've noticed as well, like, because...
Lend a Hand Bahamas, right?
Yes. Yeah. Lend a Hand and Equality Bahamas. Like, it's just been kind of incredible. Like, the word that we keep bringing up to kind of be like, hey, guys, make sure you rest, make sure you sleep, you know, compassion fatigue. Like, especially, like, in those first few weeks, like, you feel like you can't do enough. And it's just like, you know, you end up burning yourself out, and then you can't help nobody. You have to help yourself, too. Exactly. So, you know, the sustainable kind of way of doing it has been, like, the thing. But, like... I don't know what it is, but like Alicia is like the Energizer Bunny. Like she just keeps going.
She's
like
built fired.
She is totally built for activist work.
Exactly. Yeah. Like
she's kind of incredible.
You know, and it's nice, like, especially on the third day of the pop-ups that was really supposed to be one day, like I was drained, I wasn't sleeping, but to have like her energy and like you know, like I know she was drained and wasn't sleeping either, you know, and it's just that idea that you're all there, you're all working together. And for me, like, another thing that gave me, you know, that kept me awake was was the fact that, like, people were coming out in the masses to buy my products that were going towards hurricane relief, you know? And and I always, like, laugh at myself about this. I feel very close to the products. I'm not a materialistic person, but I make each one by hand.
Yes, I have touched each one, you know?
So, like, when I see it out there or someone reposts it or, you know, they'll send me videos of them doing like relief work in the shirts, it's like that helpless feeling a little bit goes away, because you feel like not only is my phrase out there, like, and people are reading it and, you know, applying their own meaning or, you know, finding hope through their action, but also like a piece of me is out there that was in my living room, that was in my dryer, like I ironed that shirt,
and it's right there on people's chests, you know,
so it's a special feeling, and that idea of like touch, you know, and
You've been doing murals in Grand Bahama. Where?
I've done one in Grand Bahama so far at the YMCA, and then I have one, and then I have one more coming up this weekend, and then I should have two in Abaco in December. So the rest of the year is sort of off island.
Where are you working this weekend?
At Spartan Builders, the contracting company that sort of stepped up post hurricane.
Wonderful. Grand Bahama needs it, so that's fabulous. Yeah, it's great for sure. There are some murals popping up now.
Yeah, I know, which is good, which is great.
And like earlier when I was talking about like trying to be an artist and do for the community, like it's incredible what art itself can do for the community. And I think moving from medicine to art, it was like, I couldn't admit that to myself, but like the idea of color in these communities right now is the difference.
That's the healing power of art.
Exactly. You know, and then like, obviously I studied the philosophy of art. So you break it down and it's like what a circle, the shape of a circle can do for the human mind.
Right, exactly.
You know, like it seems silly and it seems surface level, but like, this is deeper than what it is.
Yeah. Extremely.
Because it's about your humanity, right? Exactly. At the end of the day. And it's like, that's what we're all trying to get back to in terms of like a lot of this work is like,
and,
you know.
And like, I just feel like we've all sort of gotten like spiritually closer through all of this.
For
like,
sure.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you, like, I just feel like everyone's my sister now, you know? Like, and hearing Chantel open up and Jody open up, it's like you grow, like, even more respect for people that you respected before, you know? And it's like, and you're out here, like, making your practice vulnerable and like giving your heart and everyone's out here with you doing the same thing, you know, and it just feels good to be a part of this community.
Yeah, that's what's important. Yeah. That's what's important.
I'm so grateful to be like a young woman artist in the Bahamas right now.
Right.
Like,
it's wonderful.
Like it's a deepening.
Being heard, you know, and we're all sort of solidifying our practice together.
Yeah. For sure, for sure.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I think that's the thing. It's like it feels like a reckoning in so many ways, but then, you know, it's also the time when we see people's like the light that's inside people like really like just stand up and shine out and it's kind
like,
of brilliant.
Big up Leanne Russell.
Bay, yes.
Like,
big
up
Leanne.
Yes. Like, yeah. Leanne, for real. We're all here and we're all supporting you.
Yeah,
you
know?
And proud of everything
from
you're doing.
Cool.
I know.
Exactly. Like,
because
and just the idea that these people, Chantel included, that have had their whole lives displaced, are putting their energy into visual culture and art because they see the importance in it and preservation and conservation.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's really refreshing to see that that's where our priorities were.
It's just really funny because as well, like, I think the way that people have always thought about art in the Bahamas has always been as this like, oh, this is decorative and this is like pretty and like whatever, and it's like, no, it has a complete function, not just for us in terms of representing ourselves, but for like the work that we're all doing, which is like incredible. I have to say. So while we round out, I just wanted to ask, what is it that you guys want to see happen in the months to come? Because like, you know, like we've already said as well, like we've seen like, you know, the support kind of fizzling out a little bit. So Angela.
I want to see the same energy, like,
like
the same energy that we put out the second week in September and the first week in October. Like that needs to continue because these lives haven't magically gone back to normal.
Exactly.
Because the social media sort of hype has gone down. In particularly the international social media.
Yes. Because like, there's always... Britain was very quiet, I will say as well. Britain was very quiet.
Like, we have to have our own backs at this point, you know? And it's like, community is going to be like a recurring theme, you know? And
absolutely.
It is what we make it at this point, you know? Like,
for sure, for sure.
That energy has to stay the same. And we have to have enough energy within the Bahamian people to get back to where we were. Otherwise, it won't.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Well, I'm pleased that you're actually reaching out to Grand Bahama and Abaco. For the past 20 years, I've been fighting to get art more developed, to get the attention of NAGB, for NAGB to spread its wings to Grand Bahama. And I think that's probably the way it's going to happen, not in a formal way where a government or a body, administrative body, would say, well, we're moving there. By us, like people like you, to actually start doing it and get the support
absolutely
of that government and the administration.
Exactly.
And I'm very, very, very pleased with that because Grand Bahama needs it.
And, and last year, I think, well, I know I spent more time in Freeport than I did in Nassau. You know, I probably spent like 3 total months in Nassau last year. And it's so incredible how many people are in Grand Bahama are looking for a creative outlet. And
absolutely.
They're like, wow, you're an artist. Yes. You're a real artist. You work in an art gallery. What? That's
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's just having that centralization is like the problem.
Right. And not even creators, but people like Ariana, who did the show at Hillside. Like,
absolutely.
I connected with her last year for the first time. And it's like, she is full of ideas.
She is.
She's a great human being.
And so enthusiastic in terms of visual culture and historical culture in general, you know? And it's like, these people exist and they
need deeply caring.
Exactly.
They just need the platform.
So
the hub's needed.
And so you guys need to pull some more.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah,
we get in there, man. We get in there. We get in there. We get in there. For sure, for sure.
Yes,
definitely. So that's
great. Yeah. I'm actually, I was thinking about how what could Alleviate do in regards to like Christmas presents for kids.
Oh, yes.
Like,
I love that.
What artistic thing we could do with with children. So stay tuned. Something may happen.
And about even non-artists listening, sorry, I just want to add this.
No,
like, everyone can do their part, you know? Like,
absolutely.
Like Jody said in the beginning, she gave her time. You know, if that's all you have, give that. Prior to the hurricane, my mom was doing a volunteer service with pot cakes at the Ranfley home, and she's telling me it's like 4 times as many kids. You know, there are rooms you can't walk through because the beds are touching.
Yeah.
You know, so your time, and they're just happy to have, like, a different stimulus, someone else mm-hmm. coming to talk to them.
Right.
Just a distraction even, yeah. you know? whatever your tools are. My mom's a hairdresser. Last weekend she did a couple girls' hair. Like
yeah. it's important.
Know,
like,
it's what you can do with your time.
Whatever you can know? Do. Exactly.
Yeah. And everybody could do something.
Chip away at it, you yeah. know?
For sure. All of us could do something. Can, yeah. I think that's
in different ways. Yeah. Yeah. Not exactly. everybody's going to go and help giving yeah. the food or whatever. Mm-hmm. With me, I had to complete the show.
Right.
Because I needed to help that way with the show. Yeah. This is my
exactly.
way
exactly, and you yeah. and you produced a beautiful book for it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I know there are gyms out there that mm-hmm. are doing sports programs and swimming programs with the kids. Mm-hmm. Like whatever your tool is, whatever mm-hmm. your connections are,
you can help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's the thing. We all got something we could give.
Yes. yes.
So thank you to my wonderfully heartfelt, honest, and resilient guests for joining me tonight. Thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning into the convo. So thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.